Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Jeremy Aaron, our domestic missionary here in Wichita Falls. Let's tune in now for Jeremy's message.
Thank you, Shane, for your help with that. It's always a privilege and a blessing to get to speak to you, especially in October. It's one of my favorite months. I'm kind of biased to Missions Month, but I think I'm allowed to be. That's okay, so don't hold it against me. We're excited. There's a transitioning happening with our family, and we're excited about that. As we think about transitioning to work alongside Justin at for the next few months and then take over full-time in January, we're excited about the things that are going to happen. We're excited about just something new and something different. As Jenny and I talk about what we expect when we go to the Student Center, we're excited what Justin's put in place. As you know, if anyone spent time there, he's done a fantastic job, and the students there have done a fantastic job. And not only has he spent such a good amount of time getting into the Word and preparing them with the Word, but I've also been impressed with the culture of evangelism that exists at the Student Center. Like I haven't seen before. That from day one, and you guys at the Student Center know this, when people come in, they want you to be a part of something. But not just that, you're called to do something as well. And as Andy talked last week about being sent, that's very much a part of the Student Center. And so I'm excited to continue that foundation that Justin has put into place. He's done such a great job of equipping the students there. Jay and I have been blessed over this last year to get to know some of the students there, as we were able to mentor a few of the student leaders there, able to get firsthand information to see what they're doing. And we're really excited about the place Justin has left it. And like I said, the next few months we'll be able to work alongside him. We're very excited to see what God's going to do as we take over full-time in January. But I don't want us to forget about the corner. And like I said, I appreciate that video put together. Just a small snapshot of the things that we've done together as a church over, I guess it's been about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer than that. One of the big things for us is we don't want to lose any momentum, or we don't want people to think, well, we're going over to the Student Center, and so we forgot about the corner. That's not the case. I really feel that with us transitioning over to the corner, that just opens up more opportunities, more things for people to do. Yes, we'd like to find some volunteers to maybe take over a few of the things we were doing, but that also opens up the door for even more ideas and more ways to reach our neighborhood and our city. And so we're excited. Our goal is that the corner continues to be a place that represents, as the corner would say on its banner, health, hope, and healing. One of our biggest goals in coming to the corner was we wanted to find a way to show this neighborhood, as you heard in the video, that we're here and that we care. And so looking for lots of different ways to show them kindness was one of our biggest goals. And I'm happy to say that I see that many times with conversations I have with people either at the corner or at the blessing box. And, oh, you guys are the ones that did this, or you have that. And so as we have connected some to 10th and Broad, and that's the goal, is to do more, I'm so thankful for the partnership with 10th and Broad, that this neighborhood is difficult at times. And you see on the news a lot of times things are happening here that's difficult, and there's a lot of families struggling. But in some way, in this last year and a half, there has been some kindness showed to people that maybe were forgotten by the city, maybe didn't have the hope that they do now. And so I'm so thankful for what God has done through our work together at the corner. And it's really down to the vision of this church. I don't know when the decision was made, but I hear it talked about even with our conversations that matter. The decision was made to stay here in this neighborhood. And we didn't just do that and think, well, it's just easier just to stay put. No, we did that with a purpose. The purpose was to reach our neighborhood, to have God use us where we were planted. And so I'm so thankful for that and for what the corner continues to be. And so I hope that with the transition, there's not going to be a lack of momentum. In some ways, I think there'll be even more momentum as we head into a new era of working together. On a personal note, I just want to think about missions, and our family's been so blessed and so benefited by missions here at 10th and Broad. And if I get my math right, which is always a scary statement for me to say, it's really been about 10 years looking back to when we were first sent to Lubbock. That's kind of where our journey of missions began. Some had a lot longer journey, but for us, we've been blessed to be sent by 10th and Broad several different times. And Andy mentioned that last week, that not only is 10th and Broad a sending church, which is important, but they're a church that sends well. And that's why you see Rollins and the other people coming in, because this is a church that's attractive to missionaries because of how much they care and how much they show their love for Christ through blessing their missionaries. So first, we were sent to Lubbock, and we went to the preacher training school there, and I feel we got very valuable information, very valuable training. And then we joined a mission team, and then you sent us to Scotland, and you partnered with us as we planted a church in Falkirk, Scotland. And what a beautiful, fantastic 5 years that we spent there. And then I was thinking, I think maybe you got tired of sending us, and so you sent us across the parking lot. I thought that was probably a good step. But we've been so blessed. Like I said, in just a short time we've been at the corner, God has blessed us so much to get to enrich the lives of this neighborhood and this city and to work alongside you guys. And now, come January, we're being sent to the student center. And so I'm so thankful, as someone that knows maybe better than anyone else, our family knows what it's like to be sent by 10th and Broad. And we're so thankful for the heart that 10th and Broad has for missions. So many thoughts. I could keep you for several hours today, but then maybe I wouldn't be sent to student center. So we won't do that. We won't do that. When I think of 10th and Broad and missions, I think of the rich history. And like Andy said, I think it's so right. You have to look back if you're going to look forward. And so October for me is a time to look back to the places we've been sent, but also a blessing to look forward to the place that we're going to be sent. Something was said about missions, and I don't remember who said it. I wish I could give them credit, but whenever we were preparing to go to Scotland, the idea was put in our mind of this, the beautiful thing that the sending church and how they are connected to their missionaries in a deep way, and how part of their DNA is sent overseas. And I didn't really understand that. I mean, it sounded like a nice concept and it sounded very scientific, but I didn't really understand what exactly that meant until I was actually sent overseas to help plant a church. And then I realized exactly what that looked like. And what I mean by DNA is, if you take a look at the board here, at our wall, Josh has done such a great job of helping us verbalize, what's the DNA of 10th and Broad? These are some things that are important to us. And so I think it's such a blessing as a church, as a sending church, that if you were to go this morning, for instance, if you were going to church in Falkirk, Scotland, well, you'd be late, but for one thing. 6 hours, you're too late. But just imagine with me, if you were there this morning, these are the things you would see. You would see a church that values evangelism and growth and giving together and healthy families and all of those things. You would see part of 10th and Broad's DNA there. I know, I haven't been there, but I know it would be true of Africa. Or I know it would be true of Canada as well. You see, it's such a beautiful thing. I think sometimes we just say the words because it sounds nice. But I can tell you from a personal experience that 10th and Broad's DNA is all over the world. There's so many more places I didn't even mention. Such a beautiful thing to be a sending church and to see the aroma of Christ spread everywhere. And it's such a humbling and beautiful thing. Again, thinking back on 10th and Broad's missions, this might sound kind of like a strange statement to say, but stay with me for a second, because you know me, I'll get there eventually. Who was the greatest missionary 10th and Broad ever had? Besides the team that went to Scotland, who was the greatest? But I do think of some amazing missionaries. I was blessed when I was sent to Lubbock. I learned from 10th and Broad's first missionary, the Payton family, Gerald and Bobby Payton, and they were sent to Italy. And Gerald would talk about how they were sent to Italy before we had cell phones and before we had internet and Skype. And there was a story he told us about waving goodbye to his family because he missed the boat that was sending him, because they didn't even get to fly. They took a boat. If that would have happened to us, we would have been 10th and Broad's shortest missionaries. I can tell you that. Jenny would have killed me if I sent her over with the kids. I love you, honey. Goodbye. Gerald told that story with pride. I don't think his wife really felt the same. I know she didn't feel the same. I asked her. So was it the Payton family? They were the first. I think of the Holcombs. I don't think any other family that I know of spent more time on the field in Mexico. The Holcombs dedicated a huge part of the season of their life to missions in Mexico. Or maybe it was the Johnsons. I always think of them. And having Andy here last week really helped that kind of come to mind with not only going to a very far place, but going to a difficult place. A place with a lot of, that didn't have a lot of the comforts of home. And so, I mean, some people might say the greatest missionary traveled the furthest. Some people might say, no, it's what you gave, how much you gave up, the sacrifice that you made. That's what really kind of the mark of a great missionary. But I would say, this is my opinion, but I would say that the greatest missionary of all traveled further and gave up more than all the other missionaries combined. I know you might be thinking, well, who could that be? Well, this person is so special. Let me say that again. The greatest missionary of all traveled further and gave up more than all of the other missionaries combined. And so I think it's safe to say that our attitude about missions and our attitude about life should reflect his. I'd like to read you something that Paul wrote about this greatest missionary of all time. It's in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We think of Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God, as Christ, as the Messiah. Oftentimes, missionary is not the title I give him. I don't know if I think it's not. It's a lesser title than those other lofty titles. But Jesus was the greatest missionary of all time. And so you think, well, does he fulfill the requirements of being a missionary? Are you kidding me? Why do we have missionaries? It's because of Jesus. He is the reason. But not only that, he never asked us to do something that he hadn't done himself, that he didn't do himself. So thinking of Jesus as a missionary, I narrowed it down out of thousands of points I could have had. I narrowed it down to three because that's scriptural. There's three things about Jesus that I want us to look at, and they come right here from Philippians. And we'll use the acronym SON, S-O-N, to help us remember it. So if you have it in your notes, you can fill it out. I took it easy on you today. Three short blanks. But the first one was this, and we see this in Philippians. Jesus was sent. And even in just that statement, that there's so much more depth than just thinking about, okay, he was sent. Did he go on a trip? Did he go on a vacation? He was sent. Well, how far was his journey? We sing the song, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. But then we quickly move on. But have you ever just let that one statement wash over you? He came from where? He came from perfection to a fallen world. I've taken some journeys before. I think probably the longest plane ride I've been on, if you take a trip from Dallas to London, that's a good 10 plus hours. You add in a couple of kids that are under 5. Woo! You better hope that movie on the back of your seat is working. That's all I got to say. That's a long plane ride. I know there's longer plane rides, but for me, that's a long plane ride. Lucas and I love space, and we love to... He always tells me when I'm wrong about stuff, and then we watch YouTube to decide who's right. But there's been a big push the last really few years about getting to Mars. Everybody wants to get to Mars. And I looked it up on the internet, so I know it's true. If you want to go to Mars, thinking about taking a long journey, how long do you think that would take? Any ideas? The internet says 300 days. I don't know if they've come up with it. I've heard a few years. But, I mean, still, could you be in any kind of a car with the kids, with the family, or anything for 300 days, almost a whole year? You see, I was thinking, you take your rocket, you point it at Mars, boom, you got it. And the guy at YouTube was like, now don't think that. He like actually said what I was thinking. He said, no, Mars is moving and we're moving. You've got to aim in front of it. So there's already math before you ever left Earth. I'm out. Journeys are hard enough for me, but math journey, I'm out. Those guys are way smarter than me. But you think about traveling, you think about, there's no measurement, there's no distance or amount of time that we could put on to think about leaving perfection and coming to Earth. And not only that, he became a human. He became something that could be hurt, something that could be killed, something that could run down, something that could get sick and experience sadness and emotion. And did he come as a king or a priest or even an official? No, he came as a human that served other humans. Sometimes I forget that in this journey. This journey wasn't just about distance. It was about submission. It was about so much more. He made himself nothing, it says in Scripture. Some of the versions say he emptied himself. Man, I wish I knew what that meant. All I know is here was God who was omnipresent, omniscient, a lot of the other omnis. He was everything. But somehow he emptied himself. He put that on hold. He put his Godhead on hold willingly to submit to the Father because he had a task. He was sent. He had a task to hold on to. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. The second one is Jesus was obedient. And I know we say that a lot, but it's interesting here, as Paul writes to the Philippians, he says he was obedient to death. And then what does he say next? Not just a regular death, to death on a cross. Sometimes I don't think that resonates with us enough. Yeah, we try to make examples of, well, what kind of death would that be like today? Let's just leave it at this. It was the most painful death they could think of at the time. And it was also, on top of that, public. It was humiliating. When you told someone in that time that they were going to be crucified, someone was being crucified, they thought murderer, they thought robber, they thought the vilest scum, death row inmate is what they were thinking. And he was obedient to death. And if that weren't enough, because death's pretty final, before he was going to die, he was going to be humiliated in front of the whole Roman world. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And to me, that goes back to this thing we were thinking of, him being sent and him emptying himself. You see, the Son of God willingly took that for me. You have to think of this concept of meekness there. And a lot of times I know we think of meekness and weakness because they rhyme, but I had it put to me like this, and I thought this was a great way to think about it. Any car enthusiasts out there? I love cars. I love the power of them, how fast they go. But you take a brand new Corvette, a lot of power, and you slow down to about 20 and you take that through a school zone. The teacher said, that's meekness. Knowing the power it can do, knowing if you opened that thing up, I mean, it would just rattle the windows in the whole neighborhood. But taking that thing so slow through a school zone, he goes, that's a picture of meekness. Having such incredible power, but yet controlling that for the purpose that needs to be done. It's so much more than that. Jesus is strength under control. And I don't know if you're like me, but a long time ago when the movie The Passion came out, I knew how it was going to end. One of the few times I actually had read the book, I knew exactly what was going to happen. But I was still wanting him to get off the cross and show those guys who was boss, shut those guys up, but he didn't do it. And I know I couldn't have done that. What an incredible strength under control Jesus had. And that goes to this idea of Jesus was obedient. And then the third thing was this, and this is kind of an interesting way to put it, but Jesus was named. I think it's significant here in Philippians that he spends the last chunk of this section talking about the name of Jesus. And so often we talk about the name of Jesus, how powerful it is and how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is. But it was special to Paul. It was very special to Paul. It says God exalted him by giving him the name that is above every name. And if he could have just left it at that, but he says, no, what's going to happen when this name is said? In the final judgment, when people either in this life or the next, when they have to realize just who this name is, he gives us a picture. Paul, what's going to happen? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And in case you leave a place out, he covers all of his bases. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Some versions would say in the grave. So in heaven and earth, under the earth. At the name of Jesus, people aren't going to help. They can't help but bow. And so that makes sense when he says he gave him the name that is above every name. Because when you hear the name of Jesus, he was named. God exalted him. He had put all that on hold only to receive it back again and maybe even greater. I don't know exactly what that means. But when he went back to heaven, he went back to the champion. And God gave him the name that is above every name. And so it's incredible to think that all creation is subject to the name of Jesus. It's just incredible. What a powerful name it is. So when you think of Jesus as the Son this morning, I hope that sinks in. And if you got it on your list, he was sent, he was obedient, and he was named. I think that's such an easy way to remember. Well, what are the characteristics of a missionary? Well, Jesus, who's the reason we send out missionaries, but also was the greatest missionary of all time, who traveled further, who gave up more than anyone else. These are some of the main things that characterize his life. He was sent, he was obedient, and he was named. Now, I'll pause here for a moment and say, I don't think I've said anything that's new this morning. I don't think I've said anything that shocked you. I think we would all agree that these things about Jesus are true and good. But I think if we left it there, I think we might say, well, that's nice, but I already knew that. I'm encouraged this morning. But I think there's a step further we need to go. Because as we think about being sent, being obedient, and being named, I think it's so important for us to be reminded that these attributes of Jesus, Scripture says they're true for us as well. Not that we would hold ourselves up to be equal with Jesus, but we sure want to be like Him, don't we? We sure want to be following Him. I mean, if you wear the name Christian, then you are saying, in essence, I've been sent, I've been called to be obedient, and I've been named. As Andy mentioned last week, Jesus' last words were what? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. We've been sent. He calls us to obedience by asking us to follow after the life He lived. That's what the Gospels are all about. Jesus says, it's not just okay to hear what I say, to memorize what I say. Blessed is he who hears my words and does them, puts them into practice. And just like Jesus, we have been named. And I think for me, the three of those are special, but for me, this idea of being named is something that has grown on me in the last few years. As I've looked into what does the Bible say about us? Because when I look at me, I see a guy that used to have hair. I look in the mirror and I see Jeremy, and last name's Aaron. Lucas gets annoyed because his teachers call him Aaron because we were given two first names. That happens. There's a lot with a name. I remember when I was told the story when I was born, my grandma said, oh, Jeremy's a nice name, but what are you going to call him when he becomes an adult? Because in 1980, there weren't a lot of Jeremys, and so that wasn't really a powerful name. I don't know. Hopefully that's changed, but maybe not. But there's a lot in a name. But what does the Bible say about us? Peter thought our name in Christ was important, and he wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I know this is familiar to you, but let this sink in, because Jesus has been named, and so have we. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Okay, so we've been named. So what's going to happen about our name? Remember, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Peter says, we've been given this name, but what's the purpose of our name? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You see, living in these truths not only should motivate us toward missions, to giving toward missions, to praying toward missions, that's important, but it serves to remind us that what we choose to say and do each day can serve to bring praise and glory to God. And I know it's kind of been a trend in the last several years to talk about, well, missions is right here at home, and I'm so thankful for 10th and Broad because it wasn't just talk. We've actually done it together, and I'm thankful that we get to continue to do that together. We see missions is this, and when someone asks, what's the point of the Christian life, or what's the point of life in general, I can't help but go to this verse, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Wherever you're planted, that's missions. Jesus was sent, he was obedient, and he was named, and this is what he's called us to do. I wanted to end this morning with a quote that's special to me. This is a quote I recently found, I'll tell you, it's from my grandfather, and I was pretty excited when I found this because he was big into missions. He was the elder at Memorial Road for several years in Oklahoma City and Edmond, and they were doing some sort of a reunion type thing, and they had a bunch of old recordings, and they played this, and I was listening. I was like, I know that guy. I've heard that guy before. He sounds familiar. But I knew he had a love for missions. I didn't know this statement was from him, but I think to me this sums up so much what we need to be doing each day. So I'll read this for you this morning. If we truly understand that God is supreme and that seeking him and his kingdom is the first order of business in our personal lives, I am highly persuaded that we would just be amazed at the things we could be doing and will be doing for the Lord. And that's one thing I love about 10th and Broad, is because we have such great vision for what God can do, but we also have some fantastic workers that are dedicated and are excited about what we can be doing and will be doing for the Lord. So I'm so thankful for 10th and Broad and Missions, and I just want to thank you again from our family for being sent. Don't send us for a while. We're happy to be at Mustang for Christ. That's where we want to be for a long time. But we're so thankful for this church. Justin prepared a video of the students at Mustangs for Christ were able to go to Houston. I guess it's been 3 weeks now, a while ago. With all the flooding that they had there, they were able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we've got a short video for you to watch.